just got a tickle in my throat. I think it's Brother Steve's fault. He's not here, so that's what we're going to say. Anyway, turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. I was going to make a joke and say chapter 44, but there's only five chapters in it, so we couldn't go that high. But anyway, it's going to be a short service tonight, and John calls himself, and rightly so, that disciple that Jesus loved. And I can say the same thing. I am the disciple that Jesus loves. And I'm quite sure everybody else here tonight, if there was anybody over here, it would be the same for you. But you're not, so tonight I'm going to preach to you. No, I'm not. But we're few in number tonight. We got some out with disease, some out helping other churches, and the Lord's going to be with us anyway. It says we're two or three are gathered together. We got a God more than two or three, don't we? Anyway, this is, again, going to be mostly a scripture reading, and we are going to be making some comments. So be listening close, not necessarily to the comments, but to the reading. Anyway, 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 1, Beloved. Now, isn't that wonderful that John, he's writing this to me. And what does he call me? He calls me Beloved. And you know what? Jesus said the same thing. I am beloved of the Father. I am beloved of the Son. I am beloved of the Holy Spirit. Anyway, it says, going on here, believe not every spirit. Now that's just common sense, isn't it? Because if you believed everything that come around and go around and stuff like that, you'd... I don't know, you'd be a mess. And how do you... Well, I want to read on a little bit farther. It said, Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God. Try them. Now, how do we try them? Not to, we can't try them with common sense, can we? Because common sense says that we are worthy of death, and the Father would be completely justified if he sent us all to hell until Christ, until he came, until he gave his life on the cross. And now he is completely justified in adopting us as sons and bringing us home to be with him. But believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. We try them in his word. And we're going to read a little bit more about that here just in a little bit. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now, the world really doesn't need false prophets. Because all you have to do, if you're not a child of God, all you have to do to go to hell is nothing. Your fate is sealed if you don't come to know Christ as Savior. It says here, though, that many false prophets are gone out into the world. People want to feel like they're godly people. They have a religious spirit in them, but it's not a religious spirit of God. They have another God that they worship. And, boy, there's some really strange gods out there anymore. But many false prophets are going out into the world. I would dare say that there's many more false prophets than there are real prophets out in the world. Verse 2, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. This is how you know the Spirit of God. Okay. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Well, there's a whole lot of so-called churches that preach that, and there probably are many of God's children in these false churches because they've been taught error, some of them for their whole life. But there's more to it than that. Verse 3, and every spirit that confesseth that not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So, the Jews, for the most part, they're still looking for the Messiah. They don't believe that he's already come. And I wonder how many are even looking. And I would say it's few. I would say the Jews are probably not even looking. Again, I'll put it that way. Well, they're supposed to be looking. And when Christ came, when Christ was born of a virgin and he fulfilled the law completely as was told in the Old Testament, and he fulfilled every one of the prophecies that was foretold there, and yet they couldn't see him. Why? Because they didn't have the right God. They had a God that they made up in their minds. They were looking for a Savior, well, not necessarily a Savior, but a Messiah, a King that was going to come and set up his kingdom here on the earth. And that's not what God said was going to happen, was it? He came and he died for his people. And that is what God promised. And he told them what manner of dying he was going to have. And yet, they didn't believe. Anyway, let's speak a little bit about this Antichrist. In verse 3, it says, and this is that spirit of Antichrist. What is the spirit of Antichrist? Those that don't believe in Jesus. Those that don't trust Jesus. Now, what does the Bible say about those that believe in God? There's a lot of people say, oh, yeah, I believe in God. The Bible says the devils believe too with fear and trembling. So, believing in God, that he exists, that won't get you anywhere except where you were going to start off with. But if you see Jesus, his son, that came and gave his life on the cross for our sins, for my sins, if you believe he came for your sins, then you can tell the difference between the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of God. Verse 4, ye are of God, little children. Hallelujah. And it's not one of them things that you can't tell. You can't tell until you die whether or not you're a child of God. And I don't know how many people I've heard say that garbage. Well, you can't tell. You can't know that until. What's it say? You are of God, little children. Little children. Now, does that mean the little children? We call, a lot of people call the children undefiled for one thing, maybe, or but anyway. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome who? The spirit of Antichrist. These spirits that have gone out into the world. We have overcome them. How? Through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the leading and teaching of the Holy Spirit. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Isn't this something we can hang on to? Well, I don't know how many times you hear people talking about basically what they're saying is poor little Jesus. Poor little Jesus. He needs you to help him save you. And they talk about God's election. Well, God has a vote and Satan has a vote and you cast the deciding vote. And that is garbage. God's election is God's election. And he says, but greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Satan has already been overcome. He knows what his end is and what is his purpose here. Well, if you read a little bit in Job, just a little bit, you don't have to read very much. It's to cast aspersions on God's children. What does verse 4 say there at the beginning? You are of God, little children. We don't have to worry about Satan. Now, he is a powerful being. He's not to be trifled with, but he's not to be feared either. We have a great God. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Verse 5, they are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. Now, many times in the Bible, when it talks about the world, it's talking about the world of Gentiles. So I believe this could be talking about us here. It could be talking about the world of lost sinners. And it could be in particular talking about us. But it says here that these spirits of Antichrist, it says they are of the world. They don't. There's no forecoming of heaven for them. They know what their end is. Therefore, speak they of the world. We have you hear a lot of the health and wealth gospel that's being taught. You know, if you're good, then the Lord's going to give you health and he's going to give you wealth. And that's not what he promised, is it? He promised you're going to have a troubled life. But, so what? You think Christ wasn't troubled? I mean, look at what all he went through. He left heaven and the very presence of the Father where he was in perfect accord for all eternity to come down here and put on the form of a man and live a perfect life, completely fulfill the law, and gave up his life on the cross for our sins. Now, we're not going to see anything like that. Anyway, they speak the other world, and the world heareth them. See a lot of people following somebody like that. That's a sign right there. You know, the Jews are always looking for a sign. Well, here's a sign. If there's a lot of people following somebody like that, that's a caution sign there. Big yellow light comes on. Now, that doesn't mean that a lot of people can't follow good preaching, scriptural preaching. A lot of people followed Christ. And when they came and took him, a lot of them left him. Verse 6, we are of God. Yeah. He that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. God's children will listen to God's word. Those that are not God's children will not. Now, sometimes they'll listen through a few services and things like that, and maybe you might catch them sleeping a little bit or something like that. But how many people have you known that they'll show up on St. Swithin's Day, and they'll show up on Ishtar, and maybe Mother's Day, and you never see them again until the next so-called holiday comes around? They're not of God. If you love the Lord, you're going to want to be with his people. And where are God's people? Well, when the church doors are open, they should be here. He that is not of God heareth not us. You teach the truth. If people won't listen, that's on them. That's not on us if we teach the truth. And it goes on, hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. People will listen to the spirit of error, won't they? How many of these mega churches, the guy gets up there and he talks and makes the people feel good. You know what the gospel will do to a lost person? It'll make them feel bad. Look what Christ had to suffer because of my sins. If they're one of God's elect, they're going to know. In his time, they're going to know that Christ had to suffer because of them, just like he suffered because of me. And we know, because of this, we know the spirit of truth. And we know the spirit of error. Verse 7, beloved, again, let us love one another. Now, I love Brother Roger. He's just the sweetest thing. Well, no, I have to take that back. I love him because he's a brother. And if you can love somebody just because they're a brother or sister in Christ, that tells you something. That tells you something about your life, and it tells you something about theirs. You have confidence that they know the Lord. And it gives you confidence that you love God's children. You love your brothers and sisters in Christ. And it goes on, for love is of God. A lot of people will say that they love the Lord, and yet they do the exact opposite. This is the spirit of Antichrist we were just talking about. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. If you truly love the Lord, you know him. And you are born of God. Loveth is born of God. Boy, everybody's born the same way, aren't they? Pretty much. I mean, there's different particular ways. You know, some people are born cesarean, some people are born naturally, and all that, but we're born of God. This is a new birth, and we know God. Verse 8, and he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't know God, if you don't know that he is love, and you don't love his children, and you don't love God and you don't serve Him, then you're what does the Bible call them? Reprobate. Verse 9, and this was manifested the love of God toward us. Wow. This was made plain, made clear. When you heard the gospel of your salvation, maybe you were the only one that heard it that way. But it was made perfectly clear to you then, that particular time. Maybe you had heard the same thing taught and preached over and over again. But it says, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That was our only hope, our only chance. Now, we read in Romans chapter 15, I think it was, chapter 16, verse 13. No, it's chapter 15, verse 13. I'm sorry. I'm trying to do this from memory, so cut me some slack, please. This is absolutely the wrong thing for me to try to do, to try to call something up from memory. But Romans chapter 15, verse 13, says that He is the God of hope. And I remembered that, finally. Anyway, and we have a hope, unlike others which don't know God. Anyway, the life we have is through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. The life we live here on earth is short. Sometimes it seems long, especially if you got a bad back, isn't that right? It's just a blink of an eye compared to what our real life is going to be like. When we're going to be in the very presence of God, we're going to be with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And you know, when we get there, and we think of, the Bible talks about how beautiful a place it is, that the streets are paved with gold. You ever think of gold as paving material? Most people don't. But you know what? That's not the glorious thing about being with the Lord. We're gonna be with all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. There's not going to be any strangers there. The Bible says we shall know as we are known. There's not going to be a person there that we don't know. We're going to be with our Lord. Anyway, verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Am I better than the Lord? Now, I love Connie. I cannot help it. If I wanted to, I don't want to help it, but if I did want to help it, I couldn't. Because she's my wife. The Lord gave me her to care for. And gave me to her to care for. And we love each other. That's not what this is talking about. This is talking about an eternal love that we're going to have, not just for our Savior, but for one another. I love Roger. In spite of Roger. And in spite of me. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. God loves Roger. That's good enough. Right? It better be. Verse 12, no man has seen God at any time. Now, we know Moses saw God's hinder parts. He wouldn't show his glory to Moses. But he let him see just a little bit. He saw the burning bush, which was just a little bit of God's glory. There's coming a time when we'll be able to see God in all his glory. I look forward to that time. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Made perfect. That's a perfect love. Verse 13, hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. We got the Holy Spirit indwelling us. It kind of helps us to understand, you know, I really am a child of God. And we are to be easily led by the Spirit. We are to go to the places where he'd have us to go and to stay away from the places where he wouldn't have us to go. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, not the whole world, the world of lost sinners, those that were chosen of the Lord. But we have seen that, and that's what we testify of. That the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world of believers. Those that believe what the Holy Spirit teaches us and gives us. Verse 15, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. What, do we confess God before other people? Do we confess the Lord Jesus before other people? Do we say, sometimes when I think the Spirit is telling me to, and there are people there, and I feel like I have opportunity, the first thing I'll ask somebody is, about their religion, their religious leanings and stuff, and of course they'll come up with something about, how they love the Lord and everything, and you ask them, do you have a church home? And I don't believe in any established religion or anything like that. Well, that's funny, because God does, and we're in one of his churches right now tonight. It's established religion, not established by us or the world, but established by the Lord. Verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Well, we know that God loves us. If he didn't, he wouldn't put up with us. I mean, look at me. Look at my life and the things that I've done. And you know what? It's just, God loves me. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Us particularly. Not everybody. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And we need to love one another, as Christ loved us and gave his life for us. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. Perfect love. Now, I mentioned a while ago that Connie and I love one another. But it's not a perfect love. I mean, I understand there's going to be times when she's going to do aggravating things. And I have to try to correct her. And she says from time to time that I do aggravating things, but I don't see how that can possibly be true. But I think she's making that up. But Anyway, but it says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect. The love of God and the love we have for God is made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. We can come before the Lord, and I know there's going to be tears, but still yet we can know I'm a child of God. Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. And any tears that we have, he's going to wipe away. And it goes on, because as he is, this is Jesus, as he is, so are we in this world. Or we should be in this world. There is no fear in love. Now, you know, you would think that that wouldn't be true. If you love someone, you're leaving yourself open to a world of heartache. Who can hurt you the worst in this world? Somebody that you love. If somebody I don't love and he says something mean about me, so what? Who cares? And if Connie says that my fashion prowess has a lot to be desired or something like that, I won't cry, but you know it'd be heartbreaking, you know, to think that she thought that. But our love is made perfect. No fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Now I'm not saying that the love that Connie and I have for one another is perfect love, but I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of her hurting me. Because why? Because I know she loves me. And she knows I love her. But even more so, I know that God loves me. I have no fear that God will ever forsake me. Because fear has torment. You ever been afraid of something? And I've been afraid of some things. I won't go into it. But mostly they didn't involve me. They involved somebody close to me. And it's kind of torment. And you have to kind of just turn these things, turn this fear over to the Lord. And you tell the Father, I'm helpless with this. I can't do anything about it. Please, you take care of it. Grant me the comfort I need. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Fear is something that we shouldn't be overcome with. If we trust the Lord, and who else can protect us better than the Lord? Nobody. If we fear, it's not made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Boy, isn't that true. You know what? He loved me back before the first thing was made in creation. My name was written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And all this, God's entire plan was set in place before then. And he definitely first loved me. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. You hate a brother or sister in Christ. Now, I'm not saying you can't be perturbed with somebody from time to time. But if you actually hate a brother, then you're a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now, I have given up trying to see God. There are many things we try to see with our mind's eye. And I've given up on trying to do that because we can't. There's coming a time when we will be able to. But how can we say that we love God if we don't love our brothers, if we don't love our sisters in Christ? How can we say that if we can't love them and we say we love God and we've never seen God? We can see the evidence of God all around us. And finally, verse 21, "And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." And that is why I love Roger. And I'm sure if he was given the message tonight, he would say the same thing about me. I just know he loves me. You know why? Because the Lord told him to, if for no other reason. Anyway, that's our scripture for tonight. And hopefully things will be getting more back to normal here coming up. Steve will be well. The car will be back home. Brother Doug will have to preach someplace else. And we'll all be here Wednesday night. Hallelujah. Won't that be great? Anyway, let's go to the Lord in